Welcome to the virtual meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. Before we begin, if you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Board members, please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. For members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Applicants may use their video during the public hearing portion of their case. Applicants' video will be turned off when that portion is completed. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. I'll call to order of the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for July 25th, 2024. The time is 5:05. Present tonight are board members Sam Fritz, David Wall, and Angela Jenkins just joining us, and myself, Peter Osland, as chair. City staff includes Zoning Administrator Katie Bannon and other city staff. Nancy Kelso and Carrie Olson. I'll take a few minutes to explain our procedures, which allow for you to support or oppose an agenda item. I'll remind you to please keep yourself muted when you're not called upon to speak. Everybody here has registered, so we're good on that one. We follow an agenda. I'll announce each agenda item. Katie will then give an introduction to your agenda item. When your project is called, I will call upon you to speak. I ask that you state your name for the record, and then you will have 3 minutes to describe your proposal. We ask that you describe why the variance is necessary and what you have done to minimize the request of the variance. The board may ask questions at that time, then I'll ask you to rejoin the audience. Those in the audience in favor of your proposal will be given an opportunity to speak, followed by those who oppose. If there are any comments in opposition, you will be given a chance to make rebuttal remarks. Public participation on the agenda item will then close, and the board will deliberate and vote. You will hear us discussing your case, but you will not be allowed to comment further. Approval requires a majority of the votes. The chair will only vote if that would affect the results of the vote. If you have questions after the board's action, please contact Katie Bannon tomorrow. Her phone number is 608-266-4569, and email is kbannon@cityofmadison.com. If you're bringing any additional items for the board, we will need a copy for your record. The first order of business is approval of the minutes from our April 18th meeting. Is there a motion? Motion to approve by David. Second. Second by Angela. Any comments or edits on the minutes? I have two that I'll bring up. Under the call to order and roll call, we have members excused that suggest that there were two, but only list Sally there, a simple one. The second one is on page two, second paragraph from the bottom in reviewing the standards. And it says the board stated that the location of a detached garage in the front yard placed in the setback presents conditions unique to this property not commonly found outside of the immediate area. Standard two actually reads that the, where did I have that? Excuse me, standard one reads that there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. So outside seems like perhaps the wrong word. I don't recall the details of that discussion, other than there are any number of houses along that road that have garages in that same general location. I'm wondering if that wording shouldn't be changed to either in the immediate area or in the district, the more go along with the wording of the standard. Any other thoughts from board members? Any objections to changing that language? Any objections to recording a unanimous vote to approve the minutes? Seeing none, we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is public comment. This is for public opportunity for the public to comment on items that are not on our agenda. We have only the registrants tonight who are with us already, so we'll move on to disclosures and recusals. Any board members with disclosures or recusals? Seeing none, that will take us to our first hearing tonight. This is Legistar 84325, Anna Henning and Christina Olson, owners of the property at 2253 Fox Avenue, request a side yard setback variance to construct an attached garage for a single family dwelling in Alder District 13. Katie, can you give us an overview of that, please?
Share my screen here. Here we go. Sorry, let me try again. The new application that. Give me a minute. Okay. Okay, great. Hopefully now you can see my screen. So first, I will show the plans for what's proposed today. So this is a site plan that shows the existing conditions on the site. So it's a two-story single-family home that currently has a tandem garage that's attached, kind of in this vicinity. That garage is 32.2 by 10 feet. Kind of this area, you'll be able to see a little bit more clearly in some of the photographs. And that garage is proposed to be demolished and replaced with a new attached garage in about that same location with a little bit of additional width. The existing garage is located within the side setback, and the proposed garage is also proposed to be within that setback with just a little bit of an addition of width, so a slightly larger side setback, or slightly smaller side setback than the existing for a little bit more of a variance. So as I explained in the staff report, the portion to the rear of the existing garage was built originally with the house. And then in 1981, the Zoning Board of Appeals approved a variance for a side setback variance to do this 1981 addition to make that into a tandem garage. So you can see here, a 6-foot setback, side setback is required for a single family home, which would include an attached garage. A 5.1-foot setback is proposed for a 0.9-foot variance. Here's some elevations that show that. So existing front elevation, and you could see that one, that one-story attached garage that I explained. And here's the proposed new garage. It is proposed to be set back about 2 feet from the remainder of the front facade. Here's the existing garage. So you can see kind of the part that sloped more is the original garage, and then the 1981 addition is kind of in this vicinity. That's the existing, and here's the proposed attached garage. Elevations. Showing the side, you can see the existing and the proposed. Proposed and existing, so a little bit of a roofline change. And here you can see the floor plan for that proposed attached garage, the door that leads into the house. Here are a few photographs. I'll have some more to share as well. The rear of the existing garage. This is kind of from the side. This is the rear of the side. And it's the other side that's where the side setback variance is requested. I'll share some photographs of the site as well. So here's the front north elevation, the view from Fox Avenue. Here's that attached garage and the portion that's in the side setback here today. Moving along to the side of the house, this is the side where the side setback variance is requested. This is looking from the back towards the front. Here's the view from the rear. Again, this portion is that attached garage. Very similar view to the photograph that was provided with the application. And again, kind of looking back on the house from the front. And this is the side where that variance is requested. So that's the application before you today. Chair, we can't hear you. You're still muted.
Thank you. We have two registrants tonight for this item, the applicants Anna Henning and Krista Olson of 2253 Fox Avenue in Madison, in support and wishing to speak. If you'd each state your name for the record, then I'll have a question for you, and then you could each have 3 minutes to speak if you would like, or you could sort it out between you, or however you want to do that. That'll be up to you guys.
Great. My name is Anna Henning.
And I'm Krista Olson. And we apologize that the name is locked in by my professional use of the Zoom.
That's fine.
We really tried to change it to say both of our names and just couldn't get it to change. So
was Katie's description of your request correct? I'm sorry, losing the words here.
Yes, I think Katie did a good job describing
okay.
it.
Okay. So you have 3 minutes each, and we'd like you to address at least what you've done to minimize it and why the variance request is necessary.
Sure. So as Katie mentioned, we would like to rebuild our existing garage on close to its current footprint. Our house has had an attached garage in this location since it was originally constructed in the 1920s. And then, as Katie also mentioned, it was added to pursuant to a variance granted by the zoning board in 1981. The existing garage is, as you probably could tell from the pictures, dilapidated. It is not sinking, but it has sunk It really does need to be reconstructed. And so we are coming before you with this variance request to be able to essentially reconstruct our garage in close to the same footprint, with hopefully the result that we will have a nicer looking garage with higher quality materials in close to the same spot in a way that will hopefully improve the aesthetic appearance of the house. We have not heard any opposition from our neighbors, only supportive comments. And in terms of minimization, we are, as I mentioned, sticking as close as possible to the current footprint. The changes from the footprint are moving back 2 feet, again, to just improve that aesthetic appearance by not having the garage flush with the front facade of the house. And then we are asking for 4 inches increase in width. Our garage currently fits our Toyota Prius, but it would not allow someone to drive in with any wider car than a Prius and be able to get out of it. So that's why we're asking for just those extra 4 inches. We will still be more than 5 feet from that side setback. And as you maybe could see from the pictures, our attached garage is next to a driveway in our neighbor's property. And so I think the placement of the garage still allows a buffer between the structures on the two properties, allows a lot of light in through to our neighbor's property. And our immediately adjacent neighbors have said, express only excitement that we might have a nicer looking garage in this location. I think strict compliance with the ordinance would be difficult because our house and yard were designed with an attached garage in mind. We would need to do probably significant renovation on the side of the house to change the house style from one that was designed to have an attached garage. Is there anything else you can think to say?
I think that's good.
Okay, I think I will rest there.
Okay, thank you. Now's the chance for board members to ask questions of the applicant. Are there some? David? Go ahead, please.
Okay, thank you. So it looks like the roof line is changing. Can you go into a little more detail on why you chose a different roof line?
Sure. There's primarily aesthetics there. The existing shed roof is not particularly, the shed roof that fronts, that slopes north to south, does not particularly match the era of the house. And so creating the gabled look on the front, plus a shed roof angled east-west on the back portion allows the look of the garage to fit the 1927 era of the house better. We get a slight increase in the height of the garage. If you've noticed in the back, it's sunk sufficiently that it's quite short. And so this would just essentially be kind of correcting that to make the back of the garage useful.
Okay, and then a follow-up. So yeah, you mentioned that there's some height increase. So I noticed on the original garage, there was a door and a window facing your neighbor. I can't tell from the rendering, the left elevation, if those features will be present in the reconstructed garage.
In our conversations with the designer, there will likely be a window in that gabled portion, the front portion, and the door will move likely to the south side into that little space facing toward the house.
So in the rear instead of on the side.
Okay. Would it be helpful for me to show the plans?
Thank you.
David. Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay, so here's the front. Anything on that side? Or is the other sides?
Yeah, that's it right there.
Yeah, so it's possible there will be a window in the front portion of that.
Okay, under here.
No door on that side.
So,
and then did you mention an additional place here? I guess,
and
maybe
then, yes, the door there instead of on the side facing the neighbors.
Reason I ask about this, so one of the concerns I had was the variance is towards the neighbor, and there is a side yard setback, and we're trying to minimize that. So in addition to the first story, there's actually additional height. So when you think of it in simplistic terms, there's more bulk. You're adding more bulk into that variance than what currently exists with the additional height of the gabled and the back. My concern is that I'm not seeing in the plan any kind of aesthetic features that you just mentioned, such as a window in the gable, because I think we're trying to protect that side yard, your neighbor basically side yard. So one of the things that comes to mind is, what is that going to look like? In addition to more bulk, possibly reducing space, there's also maybe an aesthetic concern of having a big blank wall. And I'm wondering if you would be amenable to our stipulating that a window be added in order to break up the bulk, a big blank wall.
We would definitely be open to that stipulation. I was also going to note that visually, there's a rampart on the existing garage. So the slope is, I don't know if this is visible in the drawings, but the slope of the shed roof is not visible because there's a straight across rampart. And so I would suspect that removing that rampart and having the angled shed roof will actually reduce the sense of bulk rather than increase it in that sense. But that does not stop us from being perfectly comfortable with a stipulation on a window.
Thank you. I have one last question, and that is, can you describe to me how the water runoff from that roof is currently handled, and then how will it be handled on the reconstructed?
Yeah, and Kate, I don't know if you can show the picture, if that would help, but the right now the gutter comes down the east side, but then crosses at ground level the back of the garage and goes underneath the ground into a rain garden by the screen porch. And we would plan to keep that same water process. We don't want the water running forward. So the rain garden is right at the edge. So it comes down right there behind the little gazebo, runs across behind the plants, and then underground into the rain garden.
So it sounds like you currently are keeping the water on your property, and you'll continue with that plan.
Absolutely.
Renovation. Okay, perfect. Thank you. No more questions.
Thank you.
Other questions for the applicant? Sam.
Hi. Can the applicants just kind of briefly go into more detail on the need to increase the width of the garage from, looks like 10 foot 0 inches to 10 foot 3 inches? I believe you said in your initial comments that this was to accommodate a slightly larger car. If you could kind of just speak to that a little bit more, maybe, you know, helpful things to put in the record are, you know, maybe the kind of the width of your car, the existing challenges that you have in terms of entering and exiting your car once in the garage, things like that.
Yes, we'd be happy to. So if we use the front part of our garage for a car, then it doesn't fit anything else. So bikes or shovels or rakes or anything go in the back, and then the front fits just our car, and park it so that two people can comfortably get out of it. But currently we can park our Toyota Prius so that the driver can get out of it and sort of shimmy out and along the side. But as part of this renovation, we are hoping to upgrade our electrical. We have solar panels on our house. In researching electronic vehicles, they are all typically a little wider than a Prius. So we're not asking for a lot of extra width, but just those few extra inches that would hopefully allow us to buy a smaller size electric vehicle. I don't think the garage as proposed would accommodate, for example, an SUV size vehicle. It will still be a garage for a fairly small vehicle, but just allow something slightly a few inches wider than a Prius.
Just to give some details. So our era of Prius is 68.7 inches in width. And with that width, as Anna said, we can open one door and let a person out. The other person has to kind of shimmy out. A Tesla 3 is 72.8. A Honda CR-V is 73.5. So kind of thinking about relatively small vehicles. So the 3 inches we're asking for essentially allow a similar amount of shimmying with a vehicle that is slightly larger. It does not allow a sort of comfortable stepping in and out of a car, even with this. So we're minimizing it to try and allow people as small as us to use a car in that garage, essentially, but not much bigger.
Great, thank you.
Other questions from the board? Angela?
Just a quick question. You may have mentioned it, and I apologize if I missed it. Is this a fully detached garage, meaning no entrance, like entryway between the garage and the main floor? Or, you know.
No, it's an attached garage. There's an entrance from the first floor into the garage.
Into the garage, okay. Great, thank you.
That shows up on page 4 of 4 in their plans on the floor plan. When you get to that. Other questions, comments from the board? Seeing no hands raised, I'll close the public hearing and we'll move on to discussion of the standards. Standard 1 is there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. David, MC, first maybe. I may have missed something here.
Well, David might be.
Do we need a motion?
Yes, that was what I was going to say.
I'm sorry?
You need a motion?
Oh, thank you. And you're always good at keeping me in line here. David, you have a motion. You may have stated it, but I missed it.
I move to approve with the condition that a visual element such as a window be included to break up the side of the building facing the neighbor.
Okay. Is there a second? Angela, that's a second. All right, now we can formally proceed to the standards. So standard 1, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. Sam.
Yeah, so I think the most obvious one is that this garage is pre-existing. Sounds like it was built in the 20s initially and then renovated in 81 with a variance at that time. The position of the building relative to the lot line also makes it difficult to fit a garage in here. And so between those two things and the necessity of having a garage, it seems like there's many garages in this area. Seems like the positioning of the garage currently and the positioning of the house and the lot are unique to this property.
Thank you. Any more comments on standard one? Seeing none, we'll move on to standard two. The variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district and is not contrary to the public interest. David?
Yeah, I think, of course, with the side yard setbacks, we're trying to minimize an intrusion into that space. And I think we already had a variance back in the 80s to allow for this tandem garage to be added. And I'll have to say that I think with the applicant actually setting the reconstructed garage back from the front facade of the house is actually more in spirit of protecting the integrity of the neighboring property and aesthetically is more appealing, and the fact that they've demonstrated and it's clear that if they were to construct it without a variance, it is almost certainly unusable for its purpose, which is to park a car.
Thank you. Other comments on standard two? We'll move to standard three. For an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. Sam.
So as been discussed, the original garage was built back in the late 20s. Since then, the zoning code has changed and car sizes have obviously changed as well. And so, between these two things, the location of the garage and the requirements of the current zoning code side setback, making it burdensome to construct a garage that would serve its utility.
Thank you. Other comments on standard three? Angela.
I just want to add that I think the overall request for the variance is modest. If you really think about, I think I didn't get a chance to look up the ADA code, just considering accommodations, especially with like vehicles that are outfitted for folks with disability. I think that this is a very reasonable request, knowing that it probably will not accommodate folks if they needed ADA accommodation, like, lift, et cetera, to get in and out of the vehicle itself.
Just for reference, Angela, most parking stalls are typically about 9 feet wide. This garage might have 9'6", but you don't get the benefit of the extra space of the adjacent parking stalls. So clearly it's a struggle to open a door and get out, as the applicants have mentioned. Anybody else on standard three? We'll move on to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by the terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. Sam, thank you.
So, I mean, we're kind of recapitulating items we've already discussed here, but the garage was built in the late 20s, and then amended in 81. It seems like the current owners bought the property much after this period, seems like in the 2010s. And the hardship seems to be driven mostly by the zoning code in relation to the location of the house as it currently sits on the plot, as well as the location of the existing attached garage. It seems like building a new attached garage that could fit the zoning code without any sort of variance would be technically possible, but would present significant hardship, whether it would have to be somehow located in the back of the house and then have a driveway kind of connecting around the side, something like that. But that seems to be a significant hardship rather than using the existing location of the garage and how it's built in that location.
Thank you. Anyone else on standard 4? We'll move on to standard 5. The proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. Excuse me, David.
Yes, I think that, as Angela said, it's a really minimal number of inches here, so it's not a large amount. As I pointed out earlier, I think there is a little additional bulk based on the height. However, I think that the 1980s addition was very utilitarian and not aesthetically very appealing. And I think that the applicants are doing a better job with the redesign and how it will look from the neighboring property. And I think that that's actually will improve the condition for the neighbor.
Thank you. Anyone else on standard 5? We'll move to standard 6. The proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. Sam.
As has been discussed, one-story single-car attached garages seem to be common in this neighborhood. The information that we received indicates that houses nearby have garages in a similar location. So from that standpoint, it seems to fit the characteristics of the neighborhood. Moreover, it looks like the plan states that the garage is going to maintain the same siding as the rest of the house. So overall, doesn't seem like this sticks out from.
Thank you. Any other comments on standard 6? Seeing none, we'll move on to a vote. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote for the motion? Seeing none, the motion is approved. This concludes our public hearing portion of our meeting, and the final item on the agenda is discussion items. We don't have anything there tonight from staff or from board members.
Well, we do have several submissions for the August meeting. And I'll be sending out for quorum early next week, or even perhaps tomorrow, because that comes up pretty fast.
All right. And I heard today that board member Craig Brown will no longer be joining us. So we will have that opening on the board. If you know of people who you think might be suitable for the Zoning Board of Appeals, I think Katie would love to have names. We're hard to find out there.
Absolutely. Happy to talk through with anyone who even has, you know, a little bit of interest, you know, tell more. And of course, your experience on the board, sharing that with them as well is always helpful.
So, yes, you have to have a bit of geekiness in you to want to go through these standards and the zoning code every day. Not as much as people who work in zoning, perhaps, but so we won't be seeing Craig at future meetings. And we do have an opening for a second alternate as well, so we could bulk up the board quite easily. Anything else or anything from anybody else? All right. Thank you all for a good meeting and a quick one. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Take care.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, barn motions again. Thank you. I just want to go. Sir, a motion to adjourn. I thought you were waving, David.
David made one.
And again. Sam seconds. Any objections to adjourning? Thank you all again for keeping me in line.
Thank you. Bye.
See you later.